Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Pride of Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And today, I am sitting in for Cindy, a very special guest and co-host, Mary Knight, who was in the adult industry and was working as a high-end call girl. Mary quit with the mission to help women understand why their husbands wander and what they can do to prevent it. Mary has just released the sensational book, Orgasm Now, How to Have More, Better, and Faster Orgasms, Even If You Had Problems in the Past. She has helped thousands of women worldwide in empowered relationships with men and money. She is a certified law of attraction coach, life coach, intuitive, and public speaker. Our topic today is how addictions such as porn can affect your relationship. Press a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio and Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift we're giving away. And for those of you that are on Facebook, do a search on Your Toxic Relationship Dance. And if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments, you can put them there. Or you can go into the chat room if you're listening to it live. And our call-in number is 713-955-0561. And again, our call-in number is 713-955-0561. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring on my special co-host, Mary. Mary, welcome.
Hi, Al. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's everything in your world? What's going on?
Things are going great. As we were chatting before we went on the air, I'm getting married in September, and so I have been really caught up in all the wedding plans, planning away all the things that go along with that. So almost to the exclusion of everything else. So I was really glad when Cindy said, hey, in a couple of weeks, can you sit in for me? And I said, yes. So thank you for getting me out of wedding planning mode. Yeah, and I'm excited about this topic.
Well, a few weeks ago when we had you as a special guest, you were phenomenal, and I know I really enjoyed having you on the show, and so did Cindy. So it's great to have you back, and you and I could go one-on-one. So let me ask you a question right off the bat. What is your definition of porn?
Oh, my gosh. Who was it that said, I'm not sure how to define it, but I'll know it when I see it? Was that a Supreme Court justice who said that? Wasn't it when they were trying to define, back in the 70s, trying to define what porn was legally?
Right.
I'm probably misquoting somebody. But to be serious, when I think of porn, I think of it as, I always think of it as being, you know, like a video or a film. You know, I guess magazines too, but I guess that's just old school. But I think of it as being something that's, I don't necessarily think of it as negative, like pornography isn't necessarily a negative term to me, but it's something that's highly, highly focused on sexual arousal. Low on plot, high on sex.
And thank you for that insight. You know, what's interesting is what you just said, my audience knows I'm 59, and you're right. You know, years ago it was more about magazines rather than video and film. I mean, we had video and film back in the day, but it was more about magazines and how times have changed. You know, especially with the internet. How different it is now than it was 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah, 10 years ago. Even 10 years ago, because I'm 51. So, yeah, it's that same thing. And I think that it's just like when Kindles came out, it was like I noticed that my book sales went up because people could read my book without everybody seeing what they were reading because, you know, it was in their Kindle. And so that was kind of what they talked about, like 50 Shades of Grey, why a book like that sold just crazy numbers because you could actually have that book in your possession, be reading it, and you could be sitting on a plane and nobody would know what you were reading. You know, and I think that's the same thing, like with this having access to porn on your computer, a lot of it's free. You can do it in the privacy of your home or privacy or just steal away somewhere and do it. You don't have to go into a store and buy a magazine. You don't have to order a magazine online and have it delivered to your home, even if it's in a brown paper wrapping. Like, there's a lot of – you can indulge in this behavior very secretly, very privately. And I think that's why it's so much more prevalent, right? I mean, that just makes sense.
Yes, it does. As with any addiction, you know, you're either running away from something or you're numbing yourself out, or there's something going on, because if it's an addiction, then there's something going on and that you got to work on yourself. But is there a part of porn that could be healthy?
Well, I think that I'm not even sure what a definition of a moderation or a moderate amount of porn is. You know, when you think about that, like, I think we all have a pretty good idea of, like, what a moderate — alcohol in moderation, sugar in moderation, you know, healthy eating, exercise, like all those things, video games, working. We all have a good idea of what that looks like in moderation, but porn, you know, I don't know. I think that when you're indulging in something alone at the exclusion of everyone else and doing it instead of interacting with other people, I think that's where people start to become concerned, like, about their spouse. Like, it's one thing if you're saying, hey, honey, check this out. I would like for you to watch this movie with me or part of this movie with me. Are you open to that? You know, and then you can say yes or no, but if someone's just secretly watching this and feeling terrible about themselves for doing it, that's where there's a problem. Whenever there's a secret, you know, that's where things get tricky. Like with everything. With everything.
You know what, Mary? You just touched on something very powerful, because, and I'm sure there's quote unquote gurus out there that are already aware of this and tell their audiences this. But if you're doing something in secret, whether it's porn or anything, even drinking or whatever, then there's a problem. Because if you have to hide it from somebody or somebody else or your loved ones, then there's a problem. And that's a very powerful insight. So anytime you're doing anything in secret or you're avoiding sharing it with another person or other people or your loved ones, there is an issue going on. I mean, it might not be an issue for your loved ones, but it's an issue within you. Do you agree?
I do agree. I was just sitting here thinking about money, because there's some people, and, you know, women who will spend money and not want to share that with their partner, that they spent money on, say, going out to lunch with a girlfriend, you know, even though it might have just been $10, you know, like they just feel, oh, I'm not going to tell him. I told him I wasn't going to do that anymore, but I'm going to go. I went ahead and went to lunch with so-and-so and spent $10. You know, I know it sounds innocuous, but there's something underlying that idea that you need to keep secrets or that you want to keep secrets. You know, so,
hey, you know what,
I mean,
go ahead.
I said, and that's a huge topic. That's a huge topic. Something else that we can touch on here is that I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is controversy as to whether or not you can actually become addicted to porn. Like some neuroscientists are saying, no, that it's not a real addiction, because your brain doesn't react the same way to it as, say, it does to cigarettes or alcohol. You know, when somebody who was a smoker, when they're shown a picture of someone who is smoking or a cigarette, a certain part of their brain lights up, like, oh, yeah, I got to have that. But when you do that to someone with porn, their brain doesn't light up that way. So based on that, they're saying, oh, it's not really an addiction. And the reason why they're thinking that's important to bring up is because you can't treat — then when someone goes in for treatment, you can't treat it like it's an addiction. There's other things that are going on there.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, like it's kind of a new thing, like, because they're saying, oh, it creates all these neural pathways. And I think that, I mean, for your listening audience, I mean, this isn't really going to be relevant to them unless they have sons, teenage sons, but it's really for the younger guys where it becomes a big problem for them when they're watching porn, you know, when they're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, they have access to all of these images of women, where in the real world, most men, unless you're a rock star or a movie star or a professional athlete, you don't have access to hundreds of women, you know, who look with all these different looks and all these different situations. So it gets these guys, it gets them wired in a very strange way. They're like for sex and sexuality and dealing with women, because they already have this bizarre idea about what it means to connect with somebody or mate with somebody. So those are the guys that are really in danger. Like for most, like the people listening here, like their husbands say, I think that one of the things, I don't want to get off track, but one of the things that I want to talk about with this is that I know so many women are afraid of porn. You know, like so many women are afraid of porn, they're afraid of strippers, and they're afraid of escorts. You know, like, have you found that to be true?
Yes. Yes. Most women are, actually, I believe.
Yeah. I used to be terrified of strippers. Just the idea, I was so intimidated because I thought these women are, they must be so perfect. You know, because who else would have the confidence to get up and dance around naked in front of a bunch of strangers, you know? But what I found out, you know, once I got into that world and I was a stripper and I was an escort, I found out that women who are in the adult industry are typically single moms who are just looking for a way to make a lot of money without having to spend a lot of hours away from their kids. And so I think if women think of it that way, it's like, oh, okay, I understand that. You know, these women aren't sexual deviants. They don't have low self-esteem, and they're not available to men to let men degrade them or do whatever they want. That's not what it's about. It's when men are seeking out, you know, like say they're going to a strip club. Because I think like going to a strip club, watching porn, or seeing an escort, it's all based around the same thing. And that is that men love being around women who are sexually confident. Men love being around women, experiencing women because of for pornography. They're not like actually in their presence, but they're experiencing a woman who is confident, who seems to enjoy what's going on, who's participating in what's going on, and the men don't feel judged. Like they can be open with their sexuality, like in a strip club, watching porn, or with an escort, and not feel judged, you know, and then be with a woman who seems to enjoy what's going on because she lets them know by her facial expressions, her actions, the sounds she makes, or by telling them. And so that if you look at mainstream porn, that's what's going on. It's not like all this weirdo, deviant, kinky stuff. It's a woman really enjoying what's going on, or pretending to anyway.
I want to touch on something real quick. My mind's going 100 miles an hour, so I've got a lot of things to bring up. I want to backtrack a little bit and bring up something, and then we'll go back to what we're talking about. If you're keeping something a secret from your partner in a relationship, it's becoming toxic, and that's what this show is about. I just want to bring that up. So I want the audience to understand is if you're keeping it, whether it's porn, spending money, whatever you're doing, and it's a secret, you don't want your loved one or your significant other to know, your relationship is becoming toxic if it hasn't already been. So that's an FYI for the audience. You need to understand that whenever you're withholding something from your significant other, your relationship is about to become toxic if it hasn't already. Fast forward to what we're talking about. Mary, what if there's a couple that watches porn all the time and they enjoy it? Is that okay?
I would think so. I mean, I think that's up to, you know, without knowing other things that are going on in the relationship, it speaks to what you just said. It's something they're sharing together. So there's not a secret. And I agree with you. If there are secrets, it's so toxic. And if it's not, it's going to be soon.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's fine.
Okay. Is there a difference between porn addiction and sexual addiction?
You know, they say they're very closely linked. It's a very close, it's like this, it's because if someone has that, the porn addiction, like they have a sex addiction, they're not actually indulging in pornography or sex for enjoyment. They're doing it as a compulsion. It's like something that they have to do. So that's the common denominator there. It's like, you know, if you know someone with a porn addiction, they're not watching porn because they're, quote unquote, getting off. It's a compulsion. Like, they have to do it. And they don't feel good. You know, as soon as it's over, it's over. And then they're looking for the next high.
Oh, that's another powerful insight. It's that numbness or that high. It's like you get to escape from whatever it is you're dealing with, and it gives you an opportunity to temporarily have that high or numb yourself out. Okay, so let's get to our topic. How can porn affect your relationship?
Well, like we were talking about, like the secret, being secretive. If you're keeping secrets from your partner, there's something going on in you. Like, why do you feel that you can't share something? You know, and that affects, having secrets from people affects different people in different ways. But typically it makes us feel resentful of our partner because we started it. We're keeping something from somebody and then we resent them because we have to keep a secret. So that's a kind of simple way to put it, but that is a big part of what's going on.
And because you were in the industry, so you have an insight and understanding to all this. How do you alleviate that? And I'm talking about from both ends. So if a significant other realizes you have an addiction towards porn, what can a significant other do? And then and listening to this program, you're starting to realize, hey, maybe I do have an addiction. What do I do? So I'm asking from both ends here. How do you alleviate that? How do you move forward?
Well, one of the reasons why I was emphasizing earlier that, hey, you know, women who are in the adult industry are normal. Like, there's nothing for women who are not in the industry to be afraid of. And the reason I emphasized that was so that women could feel a little more comfortable and have more confidence when going to their spouse and saying, hey, hon, I feel like this is a problem. You know, so that they know that it's not them, that it's not because they don't look a certain way. So it's like that for women who have a partner who's in this situation, they can have confidence to go, hey, hon, you know, I feel like this is a problem, you know. And so that would be great. And for a lot of guys, it would be a big relief for them to go, oh, you think so? Let's talk about this. You know, that you are able to open the door if you are a little more confident. And then what were you saying? Like, if somebody, what would a man do if he feels like he's addicted to porn?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying? Like, what would he do?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how would he know, right? Like, if he's, some of the signs are, if you are choosing to, it's just like, say, like video games, right? Or drinking in a bar. If you're choosing to do that rather than spend time with your spouse or your girlfriend, then chances are you're on a very slippery slope. And you need to look at that and go, okay, why am I choosing to spend more time staring at my computer screen, pleasuring myself, than I am wanting to spend time interacting with human beings. So that's a good sign. And there are websites for men who have porn addictions that you can just Google, you know, help for porn addiction, and there are websites on there, and then they have resources listed where you can, you know, even they have even 12-step programs specifically for porn addiction.
Now, and I'm not sticking up for anybody, but this is for both men and women. They may think their significant other is too boring, that they do it one way and that's it. So I have to watch porn because I know there's other ways of doing things. And because my significant other just does it one way and is very conservative. What do you say to that?
what I say to that is that it's not like a normal, healthy man who feels good about his life and is happy in his relationship, even if he's not getting the kind of sex he wants, it's not like he's going to all of a sudden, you know, start watching porn and become addicted to porn. You know, there has to be something else going on. There's an, you know, for you to become addicted to anything, you know, as you were saying, it's a distraction from real issues, from what's really going on. So if a man wants to watch porn because he's bored in his relationship, then he's choosing the coward's way out and not saying, hey, hon, these are some things that I'd like to talk to you about. You know, and being, you know, being gentle about talking to his wife about different things he'd like to try sexually. But you can't just run and hide. People do all the time, but they need to, it's worth it. It's worth it to have an embarrassing conversation. And if you don't think that your spouse is going to take it well, then maybe getting somebody, a third party involved, like a marriage counselor.
So there's two things that's underlying here as we're talking that are coming up to me. Obviously, the fact that if you're keeping a secret, it's going to become toxic. And the second thing, and it kind of ties into that, is communication. Communication with your significant other, what your true feelings are, whether you feel the other person has an addiction, or you yourself have an addiction because they're not getting what you think you should be getting from your significant other. So it sounds like communication is vital here in opening up the doors and resolving whatever issues may be existing.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I mean, we're both experienced people, and I think we both have seen that a crappy sex life is a symptom of other stuff going on. You know, it's not the problem, unless you never had sexual chemistry from the very beginning, and it was just something that y'all both just kind of put up with. But as time goes on and you're in a relationship, it's like if you're not having sex and you don't feel like you can talk to her about sex, that is, like I said, indicative of a bigger problem. Like, why can't you talk to your partner about sex? You know, why don't you want to have sex with your partner?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Communication.
Yeah, it's communication is vital, and once you have that communication, then you get rid of the secret. And once you get rid of the secret, then the toxic relationship will probably start melting away. If you do have a toxic relationship, from your standpoint, and obviously because of what what you've been through and done. What is the answer to all this? What is the solution to all this in order for a couple to evolve and move forward?
Well, for this, just like, well, like a bunch of things coming in my head at once. It's the base. It is a communication problem, right? It is a basic communication problem. It's whether you feel like you can't talk to your spouse, or whether you feel like your spouse won't open up and talk to you. If you have a secret, if you have an addiction, if you have this little thing that you're keeping to yourself, it is a problem that starts with you, and it's something that you need to look at and take care of. Even if you wanted to go and see, say, go talk to, like, you know, someone like me, like a coach, like a relationship coach, or you wanted to go talk to a therapist and just say, hey, I'm having, you know, how do I approach my spouse with this? I've been doing something that I'm ashamed of, but I see how it's affecting my relationship and I want to do something about it. You know, because a lot of times men, and women too, but men don't communicate these things because they don't know how. Or maybe they've tried in the past and they got shut down. And because it is such a sensitive issue, they just don't have the language, you know, and they're not willing to risk being hurt again. So they just kind of, you know, hole away in their little secret world with their little secret life and carry on like this.
Yeah, in it makes total sense. Out of curiosity, and we're going to go off topic here a little bit, you being involved in this industry, how did it affect your life?
Me? Oh, my gosh. It really, really has made it for a while. My go-to was keeping secrets. My go-to was, okay, where was I? What was I doing? And then making sure I had all my, you know, all my bases covered, because I was lying. You know, I had to lie about where I was going and who I was with and what I was doing. And it was funny how I never realized how that had permeated so many areas of my life, where I actually was isolating myself from other people, like from family and friends, because I didn't want certain topics to come up because I didn't want to lie, you know? So I just avoided people. And that, so I isolated myself. And I didn't realize that's what I was doing until I stopped doing it. And my life is so much richer now because I'm telling the truth. I'm, you know, I'm open with friends, family, loved ones, you know, and it's, but I'll tell you, sometimes though, I catch myself trying to think, okay, what was I doing? It's really weird because I have no reason to lie. You know, I mean, I have a website, I have books that talk all about my life, you know, but yet sometimes I catch myself. It's really a strong habit to get into and a strong habit to break. You really have to want more for yourself and for the people around you.
So you must feel relief and freedom living this way rather than living through all the lies that you had to go through before.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And talk about toxic relationships. Oh, man. Yeah, and I see there's such a difference in the quality of people that I have in my life versus my old life. Not that people weren't nice and kind, but the depth of experience that I enjoy now, the depth of the feeling and the emotion and the openness. And you know, feeling accepted and trusting that you're accepted as you are, I think it's a habit. You know, you have to, I think we're born that way, but I think we got to get conditioned out of that. And so I see why people, you know, like if you have a porn addiction, I mean, that's kind of embarrassing. And then like if you're a wife and your husband has a porn addiction, that's kind of embarrassing because it's very, like, personal, you know? And so you're like, oh, my gosh, who am I going to tell? I'm so embarrassed. It's like, well, you know, because you're afraid you're not going to be accepted. It's like, well, you will be accepted. I just say people accept me. I mean, come on.
Awesome. Awesome. Any final, you know, this is a great topic, and I'm glad I you're co-hosting the show with me, because there's no way Cindy and I could have gone through this without you. So I'm glad you and I get to discuss this. Any final thoughts or comments for our audience? And do you have any announcements?
Well, the final comment is, you know, women, if you are involved with a man who does have this kind of addiction, don't take it personally. It isn't about you. It's about him. And that doesn't mean, you know, you know, blame him and be angry with him. It's like, hey, take some of that pressure off of yourself, all right? And know that it's not you. It's not the way you look. It's not the way you act. It's not that you're not good enough. It's there's something going on within him. You know, so you can take some comfort in that. As far as announcements, my book, Orgasm Now, is still on sale on my website. My website is lovemagnetcoaching.com or maryeknight.com. And that's really because I'm getting married. I'm so caught up in that. That's all. Those are all the announcements that I have. But thank you
phenomenal.
For having me. I really enjoyed this. I feel like we could talk for another hour probably, huh?
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. For the audience, have you had enough of what you're going to do? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diasforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific is our show. And look at the topics we talk about. And remember, get a hold of us on Facebook. Thank you all for joining us, and remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or wonderful evening. Mary Knight, you are phenomenal. Thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.